turn with me, if you would, this evening for a short time to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. And we wish to take this evening as our text the words that we have in verse 33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed." He shall be blessed. Down through the Old Testament, you discover that God is entered into covenant with his people. That covenant unfolds from the very promise of the Messiah in Genesis 3:15, the promise that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, comes to the promise that has been given to Abraham, that in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. These are the promises of God. Down through the Old Testament, how often assaults were made upon these promises of God. Assaults that would seek to thwart the purposes of God, that would seek to prevent, ultimately, the Messiah coming into this world. One such occasion is when Isaac gives the blessing to Jacob, where Isaac seeks to lay and to give the blessing, the birthright, to Esau. Now, we want this evening to consider the actions of Isaac. We want to look at what happens when Isaac seeks to give that blessing to Esau. Last week, we saw Abraham's servant. We don't know his name, but he was walking in the way, and the Lord blessed him. You remember how he came down, and he was looking for the one that would be the wife of Abraham's son, that he wouldn't take a wife from among the Canaanites, but that he would go down, and he said, and he thanked the Lord that when he was in the way, the Lord blessed him. Now, if I were to ask you this evening, who is it that would be in the way? Who is it that would be seeking to do God's will? Would it be Abraham's servant, or would it be one of the patriarchs, even Isaac himself? I think most of us, on the face of it, would say, well, Isaac would be the faithful one, and Abraham's servant would be the one that possibly would wander out of the way. But we discover that Abraham's servant is the one that walks in the way, and it's Isaac that goes out of the way. Now, we want to take a look at this, and the first thing you notice that Isaac would bless Esau. Now, you may say to yourself, what's wrong with that? Esau is the eldest son. Why would he not look to bless the eldest son? Well, can I suggest to you there are two reasons why this is wrong. First of all, it is against God's revealed will. And secondly, it runs counter to the character of Esau. Two things that I want to bring before you this evening. It's against God's revealed will. Esau would be blessed by Isaac. And yet the Lord has already revealed to Rebekah that it wouldn't be Esau who would be blessed, that the elder would serve the younger. You find that if you go back to chapter 25. And in chapter 25, you read, "The Lord said unto her," that is unto Rebecca, "two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Now there is a direct revelation that has been given to Rebecca that it is Jacob who would be blessed and not Esau. And when you look at what is being spoken about here, whether the promise is about two nations that are going, two different people here are to be seen in these twins. Not just individual persons, but two nations are there. And one will be blessed and the other will not. Now that tells you, when it's two nations, and it's and later on when you say that one will serve the other, you realise that it's more than just a temporal thing here, because for the most of the time, Esau doesn't serve Jacob. It's a spiritual promise that's given here. It's the promises of the covenant that are involved here. There are two nations, and the elder will serve the younger, says the Lord. This is his purpose. Now, when you see that, you realise that there are three things that I would suggest to you that this reveals to us. That the blessings of the Lord, the blessings of the covenant, are not only spiritual blessings, but they are blessings that are not of nature. Not of nature. Man himself may say, well, it's the elder that will be blessed. But God says, no. It's the younger that will be blessed. Salvation itself is not of nature, it is spiritual. It is of God. God is saying here to Rebecca that man might think this is the way it should be, but your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways and my ways are completely separate. And that's true when it comes to salvation, to the true blessing. Jacob here is being promised about a nation. And that nation would be blessed. There would be those who would come within the bounds of the nation. Paul takes that even further when he comes to Romans and says that even there, although Jacob here is being told about a nation, about a people, and that the gospel will be preached even throughout to all of Abraham's race, they're not all of Abraham, they're not all spiritual Israel. Paul even uses this argument to show that there is an election of grace. That salvation itself is not of man, it's of the grace of God. And right back here, in the instance of Jacob, that's what's being told. It's God's grace, it's God's choice. Not Isaac's choice, not Rebecca's choice. God says, I tell you, it's Jacob who will be blessed. It also tells you that it's not of merit. This blessing that is going to be bestowed is not of merit. It cannot be of merit because neither of them are born at this time. The Lord is saying to Rebecca, before they're even born, the elder will serve the younger. The younger will receive the blessing. And that tells you that the true spiritual blessings are not given because of merit. not of works. And the third thing is, it takes away pride. God's people, when these two children will be born, God's people will not be the first. They will be second. This nation will come forth second, not first. That any pride that they may have can be dispelled and be taken away. You think of any denomination, anything that comes under the Christian umbrella today, that first of all says that salvation is not of grace, it's of works. That says that man has merit before God and stands proudly standing in the place of God. My friend, that's Esau. That's not of God. The true Church of Christ stands that the true spiritual blessings are all of grace, that we have no merit, and the true Christian is emptied of pride before God and man. You see, what we're seeing here is faith is the evidence that a person has been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. Faith is the evidence. Faith is that which shows you that a man has been delivered out of darkness and been brought into God's marvelous light. But that's not at the principle of it. That's not at the heart of it. That's not the principle behind it. The principle behind it is, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's really at the heart. God will bless whom he will. And when he blesses them, the principle here is, two nations, and I will bless one. But Isaac will bless Esau. Now there's a second thing about here, and that's not just, it's not just the that it's against God's word. Look at the character of Esau. Have a simple look at what this man is like. Later on, the Apostle Paul speaks about not a fornicator or as a profane person like Esau. The word profane there means someone who has absolutely no respect for divine things. A man who has no regard for the things of God is a profane person. A fornicator is someone who breaks the second table of the commandments. A profane person is one who breaks the first table of the commandments. He stands against God, and he stands immorally against man. And Esau was that type of person. How do we know that? Well, let me deal with the second one first. When you come to look at the end of chapter 26, just before you get into chapter 27 and the blessing that's given, look what we see at verse 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. He took two wives, contrary to God's law. And he took two wives of the Canaanites, contrary to his mother and father's law. His father, Abraham, had sent his servant all the way down to get a wife for Isaac. and he comes back with Rebecca. Now he sees his eldest son marrying two Canaanitish women. And Isaac knows this. It's a grief to him that this is the type of character that Esau is. Two wives. And two wives of the Canaanites. Esau is not really a very nice person, morally. But there's something even worse than that, isn't there? He's a profane man. That is, that he has disregard for the things of God. Now you see that. You're able to see that in earlier on in the chapter, where in chapter 25, sorry, at the end of chapter 25, Esau comes back from the field hunting. He's tired. He's been hunting. Esau's a hunter. It's the type of man he is. We're told specifically he's a hunter. There's only one other man in the scripture, I think, that is described as a hunter, and that's Nimrod. Nimrod was a godless man. Nimrod was the precursor to all the Babylon, the Babylonish empire, which came down, right down through, standing squarely against the things of God. Esau is a hunter. And he seems to be a strong man. He seems to be a man that makes some impression. He makes some figure of a man compared to Jacob, who's a plain man. Esau's a man that's out in the field, out in the world. Jacob lives in tents. He's a plain man. You see, he comes back in after this hunting and he's tired. I'm about to die. He's not going to die. Of course he's not going to die. Of course he's not going to die. Jacob has the mess of pottage there. Give me, he says, a portion of your meat. Well, here's the test. Sell your birthright. Now, the birthright was very important, wasn't it? It was the eldest son that usually got the birthright. And he would get a double portion. And in this instance, it's more than just the land. It's the, all the blessings of Abraham. And all the promises of Abraham that would be bestowed upon the eldest son. Involved in this is not just outward material. It's the spiritual blessings and the spiritual promises that were given to Abraham. And what good are they to me, because I'll die someday, so they don't really mean any good to me. That's what Esau says. He's despising the things of God. He's willing to sell his birthright for a morsel of meat. How many people do that today? How many people sell the truth? For what? Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. And in doing that, he was showing that this birthright didn't really mean all that much to him. It's against God's word. Giving it to a man who is a profane man. A man who's married two Canaanitish women. Who's been a grief. And Isaac is going to give the blessing to him. What? Why is Isaac going to give the blessing to Esau? Well, Isaac was taken up into a high mountain, When he was up in the high mountain, the devil said to him, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all these, the nations of the world. I'll give you them all. Is that what the devil said to Isaac? Is that why Isaac was going to go against God's word? Not at all. Not at all. If you, Isaac, will give the blessing to Esau and go against God's word, I'll give you a lot of silver and gold. You'll never have to do a hand's turn for the rest of your day. Is that why he was going to counter God's word? No. Do you know why it was? Because Esau made a good pot of venison. Esau gave venison. He loved. It says that Isaac loved Esau because of his venison. Verse 28 in chapter 25. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Do you see how even a good man, even a godly man, can be taken away by the least of things? It's not as if Isaac's not a good man. Isaac's a good man. Isaac's a gracious man. But he's going to bless Esau instead of blessing Isaac, Jacob. Ah, you see how easily it is that even a good man, how do we know that Isaac is a good man? How do we know, how can it be said later on by the apostle that it was by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob? He wasn't actually by faith blessing him, was he? He was deceived into blessing him. How can it be said then that Isaac blessed Jacob by faith? The verse that's our text this evening gives us the answer to that. The text that we have this evening in Genesis chapter 27, verse 33. And Isaac, when he discovered how, you notice here what the consequence of Isaac going to bless Esau instead of Jacob had, the consequence of Rebekah doing all that she did, and possibly she's loving Jacob too much, just as much as Isaac's loving Esau too much. They're both probably loving each child the wrong way. And Rebekah comes and she tells Jacob to deceive her father, and Jacob goes in and deceives his father. And ultimately Jacob is banished away, and Rebekah will never see him again. She didn't realize when she went down this road that that's what would happen. But when Esau comes in, and there's Isaac, and he said, here's your venison. And Isaac says, who are you? Well, I'm Esau. Well, I've just blessed him. And then Isaac, all of a sudden, realizes. What do we read? Isaac trembled very exceedingly. He trembled. You know, the word there in the Hebrew means that he was terrified with a great terror. His soul shuddered when he realized that God is in this. When he realized that he had not been going forward, his whole soul trembled before God. My friend, have you ever trembled because of your sin before God? Have you ever trembled in His presence? Perhaps He comes and He convicts you the way David had sinned, "Thou art the man." Isaac trembled. He had a terror when he realized the mistake he was making. He's repenting of his sin, isn't he? He's turning aside from the sin. He's realizing he should never have done this. He's realizing that he should never have gone to bless Esau. And we are told later on in Hebrews chapter 12 that Esau sought the blessing with tears. And he sought a place of repentance. I believe there the repentance there is not his own repentance. He found no place of repentance in Isaac. Isaac had realized his mistake. And he was not going to now repent. He could have, you know. You have a will and testament today, right? And you get someone that writes their will. And they write their will out and they say, "Well, come and sign this." And they come and sign it. And you discover that in making up the will, they've really been deceived. And instead of leaving their money to this person, they're signing something that says, "You're leaving it to this person." Do you think that will would stand? Of course it wouldn't. Of course it wouldn't stand. You write out a will and you've been deceived, it wouldn't stand. The person whose will it is can come and say, "Excuse me, I have been deceived here. And this will is not a real and true will." That's particularly true when the person's still alive and discovers the deception that's taken place. He can come and say, "Excuse me, that will is not right." Isaac doesn't do that, does he? Isaac, we are told, he trembled very exceedingly. And he said, "Who, where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. What I have done, I have done. He shall be blessed." Because Isaac realizes. And that's how later on Paul says, by faith, he blessed Jacob. Now by faith, he repents of his sin. And he by faith blesses Jacob. And though Esau seeks the blessing even with tears, he will not repent. He won't repent. Many sell the great privileges that they've had in this country today. Our country's selling the blessings of the gospel, that the blessings of a time of reformation, when God blessed this nation, when many souls were saved, and the great blessings that our nation has one time known, our nation is selling it for nothing. For nothing. My friend, don't you sell the blessings of the gospel for nothing. For a mess of pottage. For a morsel of meat. Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't waste away. And don't neglect. And don't turn aside from the great privileges that are yours, the way Esau sold his blessings for nothing. And secondly, let us recognize that not only Esau, but Isaac is a warning to us, isn't it? Isaac's a warning. That we ought to listen to what God says, not just what we ourselves think. I preach here, and I often say, and anybody that's here, you will know that I say, I don't want you to take just what I say. I want you to be like the Bereans. Go home, search the scriptures to see if these things be so. Listen to what the Lord is saying, not just to what your feelings are, not just to what your passions are, not just how you are. Listen to what God is saying to you in His Word. The Lord spoke to Rebekah and told her, Isaac saw Esau and he knew what he was like. He was grieved with him. And yet the very next chapter, He's going to bless him. My friend, that's not right. Let us be like John the Baptist that we spoke of this morning. Herod, full of his fears. He's frightened of Herodias. He's frightened of the people that are there in front of him. He's got fear because of his own conscience. He's fearful. For John the Baptist is fearless as he stands and tells Herodias, you're a sinner and you ought not to be marrying your sister's wife. And what is there that can take that away from us? There are all sorts of things, even as there is with Isaac. The love of Esau. Even the love of the venison. And before long, he now has to tremble in the presence of God because he's neglected to be faithful to God's word. I'll leave you with this. What a wonderful picture we have of Jacob going into the presence of his father Isaac. And he's dressed with the hairs of the, and his arms and in his neck. And he's got on the clothes to smell even like his brother. To deceive Jacob, whose eyes are dim. And it's not only his eyes that are dim, he's spiritually dim at this time. And Jacob goes in, dressed in his brother's clothes. Do you know, Isaac was deceived. But God is never deceived. And we can only come before God with one set of clothes. That's the set of clothes that don't belong to us. Just the same as Jacob. And we need to come into the presence of the Lord, not smelling of the things of the world, but coming in dressed in the garments of salvation. The garments that Christ Himself have woven. And when we come into the presence of God, dressed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, God's not deceived. He knows. And there you receive the blessing freely given to you through God your Father. May we tonight seek to be dressed not in the garments of our own self-righteousness, which have a stench, but dressed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Lord. And then we receive the blessing. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we pray that thou would bless each one of us according to the various needs that we have this evening. We pray that thou would help us in our worship of thy name. We pray that as we leave, we would be taking with us the blessings of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be clothed in his perfect righteousness. We pray and ask, O Lord, that thou would give us to be faithful in holy things and pardon us all our sins day by day. May we repent of our sins and may we by faith lay hold upon the covenant promises that are laid before us in Jesus Christ. Pardon us, we pray thee, for his name's sake. Amen.